This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, as always, it's a Thursday lunchtime, which can mean only one thing. It's when I get to talk to the absolute legend that is Kerry Dixon, the highlight of my week, and I know a highlight of a lot of other people's weeks who listen to this show. How are you, mate? You all right?
I'm very well, thank you, Dave.
Good stuff. Now, did you enjoy Monday night?
Well, I thought the atmosphere was excellent, I have to say. I knew it would be a big game. People, the neutrals, if you want, would say it'd be ruined by a sending off. It was a very close affair. I did realise that United are an improving outfit, but I thought we did very well as well. I thought it was an even game, and you know, it's quite ironic. We were talking last week about the merits of Kante. You know, has he got more than Makélélé? What he can do? Does he offer chances? Does he create? No, but he breaks up, and of course, he comes up with a winner in an important game like that. Fantastic for him. He's certainly pushing his own credentials, if you like, for Player of the Year in all capacities, whether it be Chelsea's or on a bigger stage, perhaps a PFA or Premier League or Football Writers or whatever. But nevertheless, come up with a very important goal, and it was the one that decided a very tight game. So, yes, I was very pleased, and it was a very good win. And it wasn't the draw I wanted, I have to be honest. There wouldn't have been an easy draw, but given the choice, I possibly would have gone for Arsenal at this stage. But we've got Spurs, who I think give us a decent couple of games this year, and you know, we're relatively unlucky not just to have the 3 points off of us. I thought they were worth a point at the Bridge, but never mind. It's going to be a tight affair. Let's hope the fact that they can't play at Wembley too well. We'll continue, and we progress to the final.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we'll no doubt we might go back to that in a minute. I thought actually you were spot on, mate, in what you said. I felt it was a brilliant atmosphere. I've got to be honest. I love evenings like that, and they really are to be cherished, especially if you win. But I've got to be honest, it was a lot more tense than I felt that it needed to be. I mean, we could and perhaps should have had that dead and buried way before we did. Although, of course, on the bright side, yet again, Mystic Chidge predicted the results spot on.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think you've done very well. I mean, when we started off, it was a bit shaky getting results right, but yeah, way out on the predictions. But we've tightened up, and perhaps between yourself or maybe we've managed to get a result. I'm always a little bit, well, not always, a little bit more extravagant, perhaps, in my view, that Chelsea will win. But I thought United would be tight. But I thought we would be better by a couple of goals. They will always say it'd be slightly different if Ibrahimovic and if and Herrera hadn't been sent off and so on. But nevertheless, the result is the result for whatever reason. And you were quite right. You were spot on.
There we go. If only I put some money on it, eh, Kerry? Next time, maybe. Listen, one of the things that really came out of the game for me, which I thought was very interesting, was I felt it was a real clear tactic by United to try and kick Hazard out of the game, which is interesting because, of course, we've talked about this and we felt that he is a bit susceptible to that. But number one, I'm interested as to how you felt the referee dealt with it. I mean, he sent Herrera off, which was obviously the right thing to do, in my opinion. But do you think he handled it well? And the second thing is, just kind of talking about Hazard a bit, you've already mentioned Kante, but I've got, you know, it's a real truism, I think, isn't it, that big players turn up for the big games. And I thought Hazard and Kante had an excellent game. But what do you think of the ref, first of all?
I think he did okay. I think, tight games, he's always going to get criticism, you know, especially with the likes of Jose on the side. You know, he's constantly on the official's back, whether it be the fourth official or the main man himself. I think that the sending off, it was the correct decision in terms of two bookings. Hazard does have a habit of getting kicked when he was player of the year a couple of years ago. I think he was the most fouled man in the Premier League. And, you know, he invites tackles. People have got to time it right. When you don't get it right, certainly in big games and big atmospheres and referees under a little bit of pressure, you've got to get it right. And if you don't, you pay the consequences. I think it was the right decisions. I think it was a little bit harsh. I don't think they were, seriously bad challenges, but they were two bookables, in my opinion. And, you know, second bookable, went in for the second one having been booked, and, well, you know, the consequences. You walk in the line, as they say, and he crossed it in terms of what the referee thought was fair and paid the price. Ultimately, it would have proved the difference. So, you know, one rash moment from Herrera arguably would have made a difference. But, you know, everyone will argue all sorts of different things, and, you know, United fans would see it differently. But it was a good game. And I think slightly the better side won, albeit it might have been different if Ibrahimovic would have been playing, and it might have been different if they'd have had 11. But, you know, that's to their cost, and Chelsea took advantage, and quite rightly were the better side.
Yeah, I it is an interesting thing. To be really honest with you, mate, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. You know, if that's the tactic that you're going to use to stop their best player, go for it. It's up to the referee to deal with it. And to be fair to the ref, I think he did deal with it okay. And it was really good to see that Hazard was therefore able to play. I'll be honest with you, mate. I thought we were much, much the better side than United on the night. I mean, you know, we had so many chances, which on another night we should have buried. So,
do you believe that before the sending off or after the sending off?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, I think the sending off absolutely changed the game, and it made it a lot easier for us. And I thought it was a very even and tense and tight game before that, but I don't really remember United having too many chances at all, even in that period. And we had, you know, remember De Gea made a couple of good saves before that.
They had the Rashford chance where he got through and hit with the left foot, and Courtois, of course, saved his feet.
Superb save, wasn't it?
You know, important save at an important time, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. I mean, that's the only clear-cut chance I remember them having in the entire game, to be fair. It just, you know what it makes me wonder at the moment? And I think, you know, again, this kind of speaks of how perhaps Mourinho approached this game. But I have a real sense at the moment that we actually have the edge on both United and Mourinho, and I think he knows it. You know, that's the first time they've lost a game, if you don't include the defeat to Hull, which, of course, Jose, bless him, doesn't. But that's the first time they've been beaten since we stuffed them 4-0.
Yeah, they're undoubtedly an improving side. Credit to Jose, he's getting the best out of the players that he has. Some people say, well, he spent a lot of money, he's entitled to do that. But it takes a while for them to settle in. I think he will get it right. And I think there'll be a stronger side once again next year. I think, and I hope, I have to say, that they go on and win the Europa Cup. Chelsea fans might not agree. I'm not one of these people that believe that I want, say, Rostov to win the cup, and I don't want no other English team to win. I'm an Englishman as well, first and foremost, if you like. Some people are Chelsea fans before they're an English person, but I'm an Englishman, and I want English teams to win things. I want Manchester United to actually win that competition. There's far more fun sitting watching television, if you're going to watch it, watching United play in the final, than, say, a Rostov versus someone else, a Krasnodar or someone like that. So, you know, that's the way I view it, and I hope we go on and Jose and United win that particular competition.
Well, you know, that's very lovely of you, Kerry. And I think actually it's quite old school. I do remember, you know, when I was a kid, it was always... I think it was a bit different in those days, though, because things like the European Cup, for example, you'd only have the champions in there. You'd have the English side in there. So, in a sense, it was a lot easier to back the English side. And I think it's a fairly modern-day phenomenon that, you know, now we have fellow English clubs in there who are perceived as rivals. So I think the whole dynamic's changed, but... You know, I know what you mean. And I remember, for example, I remember when you played for England. I mean, I remember being so proud that a Chelsea player was playing for England. And, you know, I think we've talked about this on the show before. I think that whole thing has changed. But I love you for it, mate. Well done. You know, we talked about the finishing, and I felt that Costa had a poor game for him, which was a shame. But, of course, there's been some rumours this week that... Romelu Lukaku is not signing his Everton contract, so he may well be, you know, looking for a move. Would you take Lukaku?
I think we've touched on it before previously.
We haven't, we?
You know, I think he's an improving player. Chelsea at the time, you know, wouldn't have found game time for him. Certainly not under Jose, who didn't fancy him. I think they'd done a good deal. They made money on him. It might be to their cost now because he was a youngster and you know, youngsters improve. And you can see the improvement in Lukaku. He's got a good scoring record in the Premier League and he's got a good scoring record for his country. Anyone with that, you know, and he's still got room for improvement. If Diego Costa is not going to be about, and that's an if, I would certainly look at Romelu Lukaku. But it all comes down to how the manager is going to view his team, how he's going to play, how he wants to play, and what players he has at his disposal in the summer. You know, if you're keeping the same squad and Costa stays, Lukaku, you know, does the club buy him and then stick him in the reserves or don't give him game time? Does Costa then accept staying at Chelsea, if you like, and sharing the duties in and out every week? And do you get the best out of them players when they're doing that? It's, you know, it's a tough call. But on the face value, would I have Lukaku in my squad available for selection each week? I'd probably say yes.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, the big debate over the summer, isn't it? But I would take him. But I think if you are going to take him, like you kind of implied, you have to play him. And I don't think he'd come unless he felt that he was going to play. And I think you're kind of getting into a really interesting situation, really. It's a bit like the whole Cech and Courtois argument of a few years ago. You know, what you've
Absolutely.
Got with Lukaku is maybe, you know, 5 to 10 years of him, potentially, and you've got potential. Whereas, of course, with Costa, you've got the finished article, but for how long? You know, it's going to be a really interesting article. I'm kind of moving on from that a little bit, actually, because it's a good point, because we're now getting to that stage where, you know, we're coming towards the end of the season. It looks like we're going to win the title, although we can't say it until we do. And of course, we'll be back in Europe next season. And that's something that we like to do well in. And my feeling at the moment is that this is probably going to be the most important transfer window we've had in years, because I think that Conte really does need to strengthen the squad, certainly to take Europe into account. But there are areas where he can strengthen. And frankly, I think he needs to be backed 150%, because he's proved what he can do with fairly limited resources. But he needs to be backed. I mean, A, do you think we need to strengthen? And B, do you think the club will back him?
Well, I think you've raised a great point. The club will back him if necessary. It's not a case of have a manager and then don't back him. The club will understand that there's Europe as well. You don't have to be just the manager. You know, all the departments, you know, will realise we need some strength and depth. If Batshuayi is going to be or is not going to be the person to... take on the mantle and be a similar Diego Costa, if indeed he stays and so on, then we have to have someone who is prepared to go in and hit the ground running, as they say, produce the same sort of results in terms of goals and not disrupt team performance, which will allow Costa to miss one or two games, not something that I'm an advocate of either. I don't think that, you know, players will be looking to miss games. But I understand to a degree the games in Russia and then coming back and playing and maybe a bit tired. I mean, I certainly would not be one that would accept it and would not be one that would have it. But I never actually had to experience it. So people who have told me that, yeah, it can take it out of you and so on. But, you know, the Frank, I've said before, the Lampards and the JTs, they didn't get rested too often in the Drogbas, you know, and they did all the games. So, you know, we're talking about how many do you rest players or don't you? We have got room for a top-class centre-forward. But we've got room for a top-class centre-forward alongside Diego Costa, who's prepared to share the duties, and whether Diego Costa is prepared to share the duties himself. It's going to be an interesting point. I think the manager has to manage the situation correctly. There will be one or two feathers ruffled, if indeed that be the case. It's happening at United. You know, you've got the Rooney's getting his nose pushed out a little bit. You've still got young Rashford coming in. You've got Ibrahimovic playing most of the games. It's the sort of situation where you have to manage players. Conte appears to be the man to do that. The club should back him. Yes, we do need another striker, but I think it's not just a case of pick one and get on with it. It's a case of having a good look, not necessarily only at their scoring prowess and their abilities, but also their mindset.
Well, it is going to be interesting. I mean, the reason I raise it now is because, of course, I don't think that the club have been particularly smart in the transfer window, you know, the last two or three goes at it. And, I mean, we know that Jose was particularly rankled by it last summer. But I just feel that Conte is no fool. I mean, you know, he comes across as a wonderfully humble and a lovely guy. But, you know, he's a very determined individual. And I have a fear that if he feels that he's not being backed, he's not going to hang around. And I think that we've got, in Conte, we've got one of the best managers in the world. And if we can keep him for a while, we could dominate for quite a few years. So that I hope the club get that and they give him what he needs and wants.
Well, I tend to disagree slightly. I think that, you know, Chelsea Football Club is one of the best clubs in the world. It pays some of the best monies in the world. Players want to come there. Managers want to come there. Managers want to be part of it. They would like their own way, but they're also realistic. The club have a say. The club will still be there whether they come or go. The big managers have come and gone.
True enough.
I think, you know, the case of he won't hang around much, you know, well, where else are you going to go? You know, there aren't too many clubs who are going to be like Chelsea, prepared to back you to a degree. I think he has to work with the club, and I don't necessarily go along with the scenario that back me or I leave. You know, Chelsea Football Club will still be there. If he wants the players trade somewhere else, there's always plenty of other managers.
Mate, I think Kerry Dixon's just put that one straight in the back of the net. 1-0 to Kerry. I have to agree with you on that. That's a fair point. But I just think it's a worry. I think a lot of supporters, they've absolutely fallen in love with this guy. The other thing is, mate, if you look back on, you know, what he started to do at Juventus, once he gets on a roll, you know, I mean, Juventus were pretty much unstoppable in the Italian, in Serie A. I mean, I know he didn't do so well in Europe, but... you know, I just hope they give him what he needs, because I just think that we're going to be on such a brilliant ride for the next few years if we keep him. Anyway, just to kind of put a line underneath the cup match, and I mean, we did talk about Spurs a minute ago. I think you're right. I think it was definitely the toughest of the sides that we could have got. But I presume you're still feeling quite positive about it.
Of course, I think we're the best side around at the moment. I think all the other three teams have got problems. Harry Kane, sadly for England, and a big loss for Spurs, if indeed he misses the majority of the running, which it appears likely. I send my regards to him, you know, albeit most people would say unlucky or whatever. It's certainly a Chelsea podcast, but, you know, like I've said before, Harry Kane's an excellent centre forward, and he'll be a big loss to Spurs. Fortunately for Chelsea, if he misses the semi final, it's going to be a plus for us. Tottenham will still be a good side, but I think we're the best side around. I think of the four, they've all got their problems. City defensively, as we've seen time and time again, excellent going forward. Arsenal, their indifference, if you like, at the moment, blowing hot and cold as normal, can be great, can be poor, and, you know, one or two defensive frailties as well. So I think all round we're a solid outfit, and you know what we're going to get. And none of the other three teams would have wanted Chelsea in that draw. So yes, I'm happy, but I'd have been happier with either of the other two, I have to say.
Yeah, no, I think I couldn't disagree with any of that. I mean, all I can say is that I hope we have a repeat of the semi-final in 2012 where we stuffed Spurs 5-1, which is possibly one of the most... I don't think I've ever laughed at a football match as much as I did that day, and I hope for a repeat of that. So there you go.
Cheech.
JK! In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. We should move on to the forthcoming match this Saturday, which is Stoke away, a fixture, Kerry, that many dread. Thankfully, it's not on a cold, wet midweek night, which gives me some sort of hope. But it is a tough old fixture, Stoke away, isn't it?
Always. But, you know, Eddie Niedzielski, Mark Hughes, Chelsea connections, whether people think that they're good connections, bad connections or okay connections, they are connections. Eddie's a very good friend of mine. Sparky done well for the club. They've done very well for Stoke, I have to say. It's a club that basically is renowned as a mid-table side. They pull off some shocks. They're a hard side to beat. They've got a wonderful crowd, very raucous and noisy. And you're quite right, on a wet, cold night, it's a real tough place to go. On a Saturday afternoon, slightly better, but it's still going to be a tough game. It's one of them games that I put up as, if you're going to win the league, Stoke away, Everton away, places like that, you've got to go and take points, and you've got to take 3 points. Champions take 3 points, minimum 1 point. If you start losing at them places, it's a difference, and you allow the chasing teams to catch you. Chelsea need to come away there with something. I think they will. And if I was a betting man, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, I would be erring on the side of Chelsea win stroke draw. That's what I'd be looking at. You know, before I've said Chelsea by the odd goal. We've got better players. But, you know, you talked earlier on about Hazard getting kicked out of the game. Well, listen, Stoke used to be one of them tests. It was another one, Bolton away, when Allardyce was managing. It was one of them.
Blackburn.
We put that right. Blackburn, it's another one. You know, we put that right when Frank scored a couple to win the league up there at Bolton. But Stoke away, difficult game. And they're up for every Chelsea game because of the connection. Chelsea by the odd goal for me. But I'll tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if it went the other way. If Chelsea aren't up for it, it's one of them. I've said it on this podcast before. If you're not up for this game, and this is Conte getting to know all the ground in the Premier League. He hasn't been to Stoke yet.
No, he wouldn't have been.
He hasn't. You know, every ground is a learning curve, and every ground brings something. This atmosphere, everything else, players, they're going to know about it at the end of the game if they don't know about it before the game. So beware, it's one of them fixtures for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, spot on, mate. I mean, they've got to be absolutely 100% on it, you know, not just concentration-wise, but physically as well. They've got to be up for that challenge. And it is a tough fixture for us. We've only apparently won twice in our last 7 at Stoke.
And it's interesting, actually, because I think earlier on in the season, Stoke were playing a much more attacking game and were quite often getting stuffed by the big boys like they did by us. And Mark Hughes deliberately changed tactics when he went up to City the other week. And, of course, they drew 0-0, and I thought they played very, very well. So I can see him setting up in a similar way to us, and he's not gonna want to leave himself vulnerable at all, and he's going to want to get the result. I don't know what it is about Mark Hughes. He always seems to you know, because you know he's a Chelsea supporter, you know, as well as having played for us. And a lot of us still love Mark Hughes.
I didn't know that.
No, apparently. No, he's a boyhood fan.
I know Peter Crouch is a Chelsea fan.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Hughesy definitely is. I mean, I loved him as a player for us. He's absolutely my kind of player. I absolutely loved him. But he always seems to try twice as hard when he's managing a club against Chelsea, which worries me. So he will want to get a result. And as I said, I think I agree with you. I think it's going to be a really tight game. One thing very quickly, actually, Costa, presuming he plays, of course, if he scores, it'll be his 50th Premier League goal in 80 appearances, and apparently only four other strikers have done it quicker than he has, which is Andy Cole, Alan Shearer, Van Nistelrooy and Torres. So I hope he scores. I think that'd be a lovely achievement for him. Do you?
Yeah, why not? If that be the records, and so be it. Like I said to you before, these records are great for modern-day players playing in an era. Premier League records, for me, are Premier League records. Then you've got all-time records and you've got different types of records. You know, at the end of the day, it's a wonderful achievement to score 50 goals in 80 games. You know, great. And it's really good. And he doesn't need any records to prove his prowess to Chelsea fans. I think that I hope he scores and it's a 1-0 win to Chelsea. Premier League records, is, like I've said before, and I'll say it every time I'm asked about Premier League records, sorry about this, but they're records created by a propaganda machine, and I don't recognise them too much. So that's what they are. And if Sky TV, if Sky lose the Premier League and they want to change the Premier League to something else, like someone comes up with a big plan, all them records will be erased and they'll be left along with the other old Division 1 records.
I love it. No, mate, I can't disagree with you at all with that. I really think, as a great mate of mine who I'm sure you might well have met, called Walter Rossen, who's got a lovely expression, which is a load of old flannel. And I think that that's very appropriate for that. I think for me, you know, the issue with the 50 and 80, I think that's exactly the kind of goal-scoring ratio that you like to see from what is, I think, a world-class striker. And I wasn't quite aware that he'd scored 50, or he might score 50 and 80, which is great. I'd be really interested to know how many games it took you to score 50. I mean, I don't have the information, so I don't know. I'd be amazed if you remember. I don't know.
Do you remember? Probably without being big-headed, I'll suggest you take a look at the record books.
I will. I'll have to go and find out. You don't happen to know, mate, do you?
No, I don't really know. I know for Chelsea, I got, I don't know how many games, but 34 the first year, 36 the second year. So,
yeah, so that's got to be, it's going to be, well, yeah, it's going to be around the same, I would have thought, isn't it? Yeah, 70-odd possibly. I've got a sneaking suspicion, Kerry, that you got there quicker than Costa. Are we all happy now?
Anyway, I'm not saying that, but the comparisons are there for people to be drawn. And people can make their own conclusions, and I'm not saying anything on it.
You're very humble, mate, but I bet you did. Anyway, listen, I think we wrap it up with a prediction. I think we've almost pretty much done that. I'll be honest, I've written it down before the show, and I'm saying 1-0 again to us. And I do have a suspicion that Costa might score, so there we go. So I'm going to stick with that. And you're saying a 1-0 or a draw?
I'm saying 1-0 win, but a draw wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, I think that's shrewd, actually, but there you go. All right, mate. Well, look, I look forward to the game, as I always do. Fingers crossed we'll march on. I think if we do win this on Saturday, it'll be another big statement to everybody, because I think a lot of the other people who still think that they're in with a sniff will be looking at this to say, ooh, Chelsea might slip up here. So it'd be lovely to put that to bed, wouldn't it?
Without doubt, the teams that are chasing the pack will be certainly looking Stoke away. Oh, come on, let's get our game. Something could happen there. So, yeah, Chelsea, get your house in order. Be prepared. come away with this, huge 3 points.
Lovely stuff. Well, let's hope we bring them home. And I'm not sure if we'll be doing a show next week, because of course it's an international match, isn't it? Because we've got that break for the break for the Germany match and the Lithuania match. But you're doing a thing, aren't you? I say a thing. That's not exactly the way one should put it. But you're watching the game, and is it the Sanctum Hotel again?
No. Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood.
I made my full debut against Germany, of course, West Germany.
Of course,
and,
yeah.
Scored a couple, so, you know, the fixture brings back some good memories for me, of course, each time. Having scored a couple on that debut, and, you know, there's an opportunity to view the new documentary alongside that, or just before the game starts, and pie and a burger, apparently. So,
right.
You know, yes, I will be doing it at Planet Hollywood, during the international break.
And it's Wednesday, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Wednesday.
Okay, and how do people get tickets if they want to go? Do you know?
I think it's the normal way, through Midnight Productions.
Right.
The people who made the film are pretty much doing a similar sort of situation as they have been at the Sanctum Hotel.
All right. Well, look, people, if you're listening, it's quite easy. Just go and Google Midnight Productions. I think it's midnightproductions.co.uk/footylegends100, if I remember rightly. But have a Google of that and get yourself a ticket if you want to, A, see Kerry's fantastic documentary film about his career and life, and then follow that up by watching England stuff Germany and Kerry telling you how we did it. You may or may not remember this, Kerry, but I remember you hosted England versus the USA in the I can't remember what World Cup it was. I think it was the one in South Africa. And you did that for 888, and I went along there. I had a cracking evening, and I remember you and I shared quite a few drinks afterwards and had quite a giggle. So there you go. They're great evenings, those, aren't they?
Well, your memory is better than mine, but yeah, I, depending on how many drinks it was, as how much the memory, is evoked.
Well, we did have a few, and I'm going to leave it at that. So there we go. So I wouldn't worry about not remembering. Mate, it's been fantastic as always. Great fun. Good luck for Saturday, and we will speak again very soon, no doubt.
Thank you, Dave. Have a good weekend.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.